of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We said last time that these last 2 weeks of the Coptic calendar, the church arranged to talk to us about the end of the year and the end of the world and the end of our lives. It is a reminder for all of us . It is strange, really, when even the church did not only remind us of our ends or the end of the world at the end of the year, but it always reminds us with our end every day. You know, when we read the prayer before sleeping, it's the 12th hour prayer. Every single day we all pray the sunset prayer or the before sleeping prayer. You know, what do we say before we go to sleep? What do we say before we go to sleep? I am going to stand before the just judge. I am going to stand before the just judge. And then I go to sleep. It means I am saying to myself and I am saying to the Lord, I might not wake up in the morning. I'm going to sleep, and probably this was my last minutes on earth. And that is why it is very important that the church reminds us to be ready all the time. To be ready all the time. We talked last time that the disciples asked the Lord the 3 questions. When, what are the signs, and where it will be. And we talked about the promise of the Lord to come and the signs of His second coming. And today, I want to talk to you about said last time that His second coming would be sudden, unexpected. It is like lightning. Never expect when it comes. And as well, it says it is like labor pains. To express, no mother would expect when the labor pains start, but when it does, when they do start, it's a painful process, but the end of it is very glorious and happy time when she had her birth or give birth to her child. And it is true, when the second coming will come, it is our new birth to heaven. New birth to heaven. It is a new life that we are waiting for. It is as well as The Bible told us it is as in the days of Noah. Noah stayed 120 years preparing the ark. Everyone was making fun of him. And they took him lightly. But it turned to be true. It turned to be serious. And everyone was inside the ark being saved. Everyone outside of the ark was not saved. Everyone believed being saved. Everyone did not believe was not saved. That is why we need to take things serious and be committed to regularly live this moment every single day. We said that when he comes, everyone will see him. It would be, we said it is two comings, that's why we call it second coming. When the first coming, when he came to our world in the flesh as Jesus Christ. And there are two births for the Lord. The birth from the Father, which is the divine nature of the Lord, and his birth in the flesh. This is not its time now. But we talked as well last time about when we are risen, by what body we will be risen, and what is the nature of our bodies when we are risen. And we said in the last time that we have been implanted in corruption, but we will be risen in incorruption. We will be implanted in humility, but we will be risen in glory. We have been implanted in weakness, but we will be risen in power. We have been implanted from earth, or in earth, and being earthly. But when we are risen, we will be risen in the spirit, and we will be heavenly. As well, we have been implanted mortal people. We will die. But when we are risen, we will never die anymore. We will be immortal. And as well, we will be in the flesh, weak and sinners. And when we are risen, we will be in victory, and we will no more know the sin. There will be no sins in heaven. That is about the resurrection. But today specifically, I wanted to talk to you about how to be ready. We talked about it concisely last week, but today we will want to examine it a little bit more. Number one, to be ready for the second coming, you need to be serious. You don't take things lightly. You don't take things superficially. We want you to know more about heaven, know more about eternity, read more, know more, and be ready. How much do you prepare for an exam? How much would you prepare for your profession? How much would you prepare for a new home you move to? But how much should you prepare for the eternity, for the everlasting life? That should take all our attention. That should take all our efforts, because without having that hope, without having that great, great promise, our life would be miserable. Our life would be miserable. We'd be the most miserable people, because we didn't live like the world, and we have nothing else to get after we leave. But the whole of our lives on earth is a preparation for this minute when we go up to heaven. So we need to be serious. That is the first thing. And the Lord as well. To be serious, you have to express it. You have to express it in your life. How would you express being serious about your eternity? The Lord said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch means to keep awake, to keep alert, being alert, to be always observant. Take cautious that you might lose your eternity. Make your day is a day you spare for yourself something in heaven. People work to get money. People study to succeed in an exam. But ask yourself every single day, what did I do today to keep for myself in our eternity? The Lord told us that in that day, when we are risen, when it is the last judgment, everyone will give an account about what? About our deeds, about our lives. The only thing which will follow you in heaven are your deeds. So ask yourself, what sort of deeds did I do today which will be kept for me in heaven, which will justify me to live forever with the Lord? It is very important to examine yourself, to examine your thoughts, to examine your feelings, to examine your actions and deeds every single day. And that is why the church as well prepared for us not only self-examination, because sometimes we are biased, or sometimes we can't judge ourselves that much. The church arranged for us the confession. And by confession, you are not only examining yourself, but you are letting the Lord to examine your life. I call confessions, it is mock last day judgment. I've seen mock exams, you know mock exams? A confession is a mock last day judgment. But here, you will have forgiveness. There, you would not have forgiveness. So it is better for us not only to examine our lives every single day, but as well to open our lives to the Lord and let His light to shine upon us in every confession, that we be purified and forgiven. It says in the last day the books will be opened and the deeds will be read. The books will be opened and the deeds will be read. There is no way to keep your book wiped and blank unless you are forgiven. So please don't accumulate things in your book. It would never be forgotten. There is, you know, the cameras, the speed cameras and the cameras in the streets, they record every single car passed that way. Not only the speed cameras, even normal cameras you find on your way. One of our congregation was talking to a policeman and said, which number is the registration of your car? It went here and there and there. You got all the car history, where it has gone and when and how long. That's only for a little camera here. What about the heavenly camera? What about your guardian angel? Who follows you and knows everything about you. In that last day, the books will be opened and the deeds will be read. Nothing will be missing. Believe me, nothing will be missing. So the only way to cleanse it is to repent and to be forgiven, and to confess regularly. I am sure many of us do not confess regularly. You know why? Because they don't examine themselves daily. If you examine yourself daily and you find something wrong, you would not sleep comfortably unless you reconcile with God. David the king and the prophet said, I would not close my eye till I find a place for the Lord. I would not go to sleep till I find a place in my heart for the Lord. That is how it should be every single day. And that is how it should be when we come to confess. Be conscious that you need to be the bride for the bridegroom when he comes. I would imagine that I never seen, actually, a bride who is not ready on her day of wedding. Have you ever seen that? Can you imagine the bridegroom is standing at the church waiting for his bride, and the bride did not turn up, did not turn to the church? How the bridegroom would feel? That is exactly like when the Lord will come and we find us not ready. Watch and pray. The third thing the Lord have told us is wait and endure the difficult time patiently, with patience. Patience makes us perfect, lacking nothing. Don't panic. In these last days, you should not panic. So many people today in Egypt are panicking. So many of our relatives in Egypt are panicking. But the Lord is telling us, endure that time and wait for my second coming patiently. St. James is saying patience makes us perfect. That is why, if you are patient and waiting for the Lord with joy and ready for His coming, you will be really rejoicing. You will not really be burdened by anything else. The righteous people are waiting for the day they will go to heaven, are actually wishing and wanting that day sooner more than later. St. Paul is saying, I wish if I go. Why, St. Paul, you wish to go? Who wished to die? He says, because it is much better life. Much better life. You know, when a little boy have got a toy and you want to take for him that toy, what would you do? Would he give you the toy if you tell him, give me this toy? Would you? I don't think so. Unless you give him a bigger toy. So unless heaven is much more glorious than earth, is much more better than earth, we wouldn't really want to go. So that is why when people realize how heaven is much better, they wish to go. They would rather to go more than to stay here. I said before, if you haven't heard it, a girl was arrested and gone up to heaven, And her parents were so sad and screaming, and they made everyone to pray for them. And then the Lord answered their prayers and brought her back to life. They successfully resuscitated her. When she came around, her mother was so excited, and she kept telling her, "My daughter, my beloved daughter, aren't you happy?" But the girl was staring up to heaven and saying, "I have forgotten the wonderful hymn I was saying." She was singing, she was saying a hymn that she was enjoying so much, and she was sad to come back and forget it. It was a big disappointment for her mother. Why? Because her mother felt she is not happy with her. But the girl expressed a beautiful fact. "Heaven, Mom, is better. Mom, you didn't see what is in heaven. Mom, you didn't know what is there. If you know, if you have seen it like me, you wouldn't have asked me to come back." That is why we need always to know more about heaven, to know that it is much better, to wait for his second coming patiently and without fear, but wishing the minute we go. And that is why even the Bible is telling us when he comes, those who are on the roof, they should not come down to the house, because they will be taken away. Those who are in the field, they should not come back home to take anything. Nothing you can take with you. Your lovely house, your lovely possessions, your lovely car, your lovely bank account, it will be all left. Don't take anything. So today, the Lord wants to say, don't hold on the temporary things. Hold more on what is eternally, what can be staying for you in heaven. That is your treasure. Your treasure in heaven are not money, are not places, are not houses, are not cars, are not materialistic things. Your treasure in heaven is your deeds, your pure heart. That is your money. That's your treasure in heaven. And the last thing I wanted you today to notice very much. It says in the Bible, "Judge not the others, so that you will not be judged. Because with the same measure you use, it will be measured for you too." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It is with the same measure you treat the others, you will be treated in heaven. With the same way you deal with the others, God will deal with you. If you love the others, you will find the Lord will deal with you in love. If you are harsh with the others, the day of judgment will be for you horrible, will be harsh. If you hate the others, you will find no mercy and love there. That is why in the fasting song in the church, we say, "Tubal rahama lanahum yurhamun." Blessed are those who have mercy upon the others, because they will have mercy from God. So be always loving, generous. You are forgiven, because it is not that it, because you are good. Do it because you want to be good for yourself. When you actually forgive the others, you are given forgiveness for yourself in that day. When you actually loving the others, you are giving yourself that love in that day. When you are merciful for the others and generous for the, to the others, you are giving yourself this generosity and this kindness. May the Lord give us all to be ready in this hour. To be ready. As we said, to be ready is to be serious, is to watch and pray, is to examine yourself every day, is to keep your confessions regular, is to be not attached to anything which is temporary, because it will go. You cannot take it with you, but be attached to what you can take with you forever. And notice to be enduring this time with patience, and as well giving yourself that love, that mercy, that forgiveness, when you do the same now with your brothers and sisters. May the Lord give us all to be ready. Glory to God forever.